we've got hold of Steve Felder. He's a global executive. He's got 25 years of experience leading businesses across, listen to this, shipping, logistics, retail, banking. These are all sectors that you have to know what is happening in the political landscape, because it's going to impact all of those, right? The shipping, logistics, retail, and banking. So I wanted to speak to Steve and find out how he's reading the room. Good morning, Steve Felder. How are you?
Good morning and good evening. It's about 12:30 here at night and here in Montreal, and early morning for you guys.
It is, and it's freezing this morning. You're coming up for spring.
Exactly.
Only minus 15, yeah.
Exactly right. It's difficult to talk to a Montrealer about cold.
Yes. All right. How are you reading the room in terms of the meeting with Cyril Ramaphosa and Donald Trump?
Well, I think I was actually down in D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and I had a couple of interesting meetings and, you know, asked a few probing questions. And my friend Anthony Ginsberg, who's also ex-South African and lives in L.A., that's Los Angeles, not Lower Alberton, he had some very interesting meetings. He stayed on in D.C. for a couple of days, and he actually did an interview with Alec Hogg on his show. But I think in general, you know, this is a very high-stakes visit. I think that if you look at the wish list of President Ramaphosa and his delegation, they would love to progress a trade deal, because I think by now they've come to the realization that there is little to no chance of AGOA being renewed, and that means there are 250,000 to 500,000 jobs at risk, particularly in the automotive sector and the agricultural sector, but also in the secondary economy. I think he would like to persuade President Trump to reverse the resettlement of racial minorities, which is, I guess, by now known as the Americana program, and overall to establish a new trajectory in bilateral relations. But, you know, it's a very difficult time. It's really a low point in the bilateral relations. Not to rehash the past, but the context is important. I think this relationship has suffered a death by a thousand cuts under Ramaphosa. And there've just been so many missteps by South Africa, by the government, cozying up to dictators and rogue regimes, launching the case against the Israelis at the ICJ, deploying an ill-fitting, unfit for purpose ambassador who also publicly criticized the president. And I think this expropriation bill, it was pretty much the straw that broke the camel's back. And the administration said enough. And certainly folks that have been briefing the president have also impacted his outlook. But really, you know, the entire crisis in relations is self-inflicted. You know, play silly games, win silly prizes, as it were.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult time, and that's why today is a really critical meeting.
It's so interesting because, you know, at some point, it could actually end up being a blessing to South Africa. South Africa, we are very, very used to taking handouts. We aren't developing our own industries. We sell our natural resources. It gets processed elsewhere, and then we buy it back at five times the price. So it might actually be a blessing in disguise, but there's things that have to change here at home as well. I mean, our labor laws, for one. They're not friendly to giving people jobs and working. What's your thought
Certainly,
on that?
Certainly, I think the labor laws and of course the, you know, the BEE, it all creates, you know, a deterrent. And I think that if investors have a choice, and you know, if there are other countries that offer more attractive incentives or a path of least resistance, or the issues and bureaucracy that investors don't have to deal with in other countries, this is, you know, then of course they will look at that more seriously. But in reality, you know, South Africa is a junior partner in this, and I think that President Trump, with his tariffs, has really upended a lot of global trade and let's say even the conversation around global trade. But in South Africa's case, you cannot decouple the political side from the economic side. I think they're very much interlinked. And although I think Ramaphosa and his team would like to do that, I don't think that's realistic. The sentiment, at least, from what I heard when I was down in DC a couple of weeks ago, the sentiment towards the South African government is very negative. There's certainly a lot of negative PR. Whereas I think generally the sentiment towards the South African people is quite positive, but that positive sentiment, may not be enough. And of course we have, aside from what we've seen with President Trump and his announcements about resettlement and about the halt in aid, we have the Jackson Bill, which calls for a complete review of bilateral relations between the two countries. And
wow.
Although it's in the introductory stage in Congress, even if it doesn't progress to legislation, it's really a dire warning shot that the government really needs to change course. So we'll have to see how it goes. But if you look at the composition of the delegation, we have Ronald Lamola, the Minister of Durco. We have Kubudzo Mchaveni, the Minister in the Presidency, who has been implicated in several corruption investigations, has also been criticized for excessive spending as a minister. We have Parks Tau, the Minister of Trade and Industry, also had been investigated a couple of times, but no charges brought. We have Steenhuisen, Minister of Agriculture, and we have Msibisi Jonas as the special envoy. But although there's certainly some sharp folks on the team, quite frankly, it seems like the B team, and it lacks representation from industry and civil society, which, as we all know, drives the economy in South Africa. I reached out to a senior minister about a month ago, who's a personal friend, and inquiring about the negotiation team and whether they were looking at folks from the private sector. And she told me that the team had already been formed and had started working. There are some indications that Johann Rupert may be part of the delegation, which may give it more impetus. But I think that when you're at you're facing such an existential issue, and you've got so many jobs at stake, you've really got to put together the A team. And I think that, unfortunately, we've seen that this government really never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
Yeah, I don't see that the ANC will ever walk anything back. I'm sure that you've heard the claim, and you've seen even Musk, I think he tweeted, that there have been more racist laws passed under the ANC in a post-apartheid South Africa than prior to that. So I actually did some research. So it's facts on the ground that are kind of colouring all of this. It's not just opinion. So there's a political analyst by the name of James Myburgh, and he looked into it, and the pro-apartheid National Party government passed 59 pieces of race-based legislation over a period of 70 years during apartheid, whereas the post-apartheid government led by the ANC has passed 90 laws with racial representativity mandates over a smaller time period of 25 years. Isn't that crazy when you think about that?
Yeah, and I think, if it's interpreted as such, by those that are briefing the president and that are influencing him, it's certainly not a good look. But it's one of many issues. And I think that there's a lot of reasons why they are unhappy with the administration, is unhappy with the South African government. And I think that it's really difficult to predict today how the delegation will be received. I think there are a range of scenarios. I mean, you mentioned already that this is a working visit, which is below the level of a state visit. I think it was also quite clear when we saw there was a very modest welcome reception.
Yeah, I think five people.
it's really very, very minimal, and I think that was probably a deliberate message, I would expect. Let's see how it goes today. I think that Trump will probably start off as courteous and will receive Ramaphosa graciously, as he does with all world leaders. But really, after that, it's anybody's guess. I think the first step to a successful negotiation, in my experience, is to understand your leverage or your lack of leverage. And South Africa certainly has some cards to play, particularly when it comes to natural resources and critical minerals. But this is, again, this is not a negotiation of equals, and the US has infinitely more leverage and probably won't hesitate to deploy it. So if, you know, if they come with meager or immaterial concessions, then they won't get any results and possibly even anger the administration further. If, on the other hand, they agree to concede on some of the issues that are important to the US, perhaps it's the beginning of a fruitful process, but really it's anybody's guess at this point.